And where I begin in the second hour of the show, as we start the second quarter of the four-hour edition of the John Kincaid Show, is a story that got a lot of press the last couple of weeks. And that is the story of Jussie Smollett. And no, we're not going to get into the nature of alleged false reports to the police, conspiring to create some sort of a divide on along racial and sexual orientation lines. That's not what I want the story to be about. It is. That's exactly what the story's about. But that's not what I want our story to be about when we talk about it. It's the idea of Jussie Smollett and how it affects everything that we do in the era of 280 characters. Jump, jump, jump. I got to be first. I got to be first. I got to get my opinion out there first. I got to be the first one with a hot take in my business. You got people will drop all over themselves to be the person that gets to have the first hot opinion. Man, I got 4 retweets. That was awesome. Look at me. I'm like a 14-year-old girl on Instagram. Look, I got 72 likes. That was a hot sports opinion. Everybody in a rush. And using the example, the biggest story that's been in the news this week, that Jussie Smollett story, and we talked about it last Sunday on the show. I touched on it very, very briefly. I didn't buy the story. Didn't make a lot of sense to me. Having lived in a big city for a large portion of my life, I didn't understand the 2 a.m. subway run. I didn't understand the 12 degrees below zero that the marauders were out looking for somebody, that they just happened to have bleach and a noose and everything like that. I didn't buy many, many portions of the story. It didn't make sense to me. What made the least sense of all is that two guys were jumping Jussie Smollett, and he was beating them. He beat them down. He was able to beat off 2 attackers. Knock this guy. Knock him. Knock him. Knock him. Like he's Batman. I wasn't buying that part of the story either. None of it. But everybody jumping to conclusions on the story is a danger, and we talked about it with Robert Kraft earlier in the first hour of the show. Let's not, as we presume innocence in this country, can we be as quick to not presume guilt? And there is a difference. Here's the difference. We pick and choose who we presume guilt over, and we pick and choose who we presume innocence for. And we look at the same story. Robin Roberts, I can tell you, at ABC, and I don't know Robin well at all, but I have gotten to interact with Robin over the years, and I was with ESPN Radio for a long time before coming to CBS Sports Radio. And I can tell you that I would hold Robin Roberts as someone in my business of being of impeccable character. And there is zero doubt in my mind that she got approached about doing that interview and she took it, which, by the way, anyone in our industry would. Take that interview. So if you're critiquing Robin Roberts for taking the interview, you don't understand how the business works. Part of the reason that Robin Roberts makes what she does every year from ABC is because she does her job well. And part of that is being able to land the big interviews, land the great access. And from what I know of her, and very limited, very, very limited behind the scenes, but from what I know of Robin Roberts, I know her to be of impeccable character. And I believe she got used and taken advantage of, as many in the media do, in their desire and urge to be first, to be right, to get the big interview otherwise. If I had landed the interview with Jussie Smollett, and obviously he's never going to do it with me, he chose what he thought would be a sympathetic audience. He chose an African-American female reporter, and he chose one that he thought would be sympathetic to his cause. And I guess anybody in that situation would probably choose, okay, who's the person that I think I could most relate to? So again, I get it. And anybody critiquing Robin about that, you're a fool. Everybody would have killed to have that interview. Everybody. But who we choose to believe blindly and who we choose to not believe has gotten to the point where it's an epidemic. We draw lines on skin color. We draw lines on sexual orientation. We draw lines on political affiliation. And if something fits our life narrative, we far too often believe what we want to believe instead of asking the critical questions. And I raise my hand. You think I'm infallible? Absolutely not. Do I find myself falling victim to this often? No. Mainly because of the job I'm in, and mainly because of the fact that I have jumped to conclusions in the past that ended up being incorrect. So in no way am I infallible, and no way am I saying, well, I don't do this, but everybody else does. I try to never do it now. I try to never do it now. I try to tread with great caution. Because I have been in that position before where I've thought, okay, this fits. A plus B does equal C. But in sports, with the athletes that we have today, with issues that have arisen in sports, we tend to just jump and believe. We've seen guys lose their careers over false allegations of domestic violence that end up not being proven. But we believe them when the NFL suspends them. We have to all do a better job of looking at stories. But it's funny. And I'm going to point to one of my colleagues here, Zach Gelb, from this morning on his show. Zach does a good job overnight, Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 6 Eastern time here on the network. Zach's a Patriots fan. He's looking at the Robert Kraft story, and he flat out says today on the air, I have no reason, well, there's no reason to believe that Robert Kraft knew anything about that there was any kind of human trafficking going on with the prostitutes that he is alleged to have taken part in activities with. And I'm screaming at my radio going, how do you know that, Zach? Because you're a Patriots fan? How do you know that? I'm going to tell you right now, there's nobody I'm putting my head on the block for. I'm not putting the head on the block for, I know my wife. Absolutely like a book. I know my brother like a book. I've gotten to know my daughter as she's grown up like a book. But good friends, even good friends, I'll sometimes say, well, that was really out of character. I'll have a friend do something that's completely out of character. And I'll be like, I thought I knew this person. And it ends up, I didn't realize that everything that I thought I knew, I really didn't know. And then I'm never going to put my head on the chopping block and say, the owner of my favorite sports team, he would never do anything like that. Really? How do you think you know this? How does anyone jump to that conclusion? Am I inclined to believe he knew anything about that? Absolutely not. I'm not inclined to believe that at all. So in that, I agree with Zach. But am I going to say point blank, that's just my gut instinct. Is to say, I don't believe, I guess, that he'd know anything. But am I going to make a definitive statement that he didn't? No. No. Because I don't know what perverse ways lie with anyone that I interact with on a daily basis. I don't know what you know, anything that someone else is willing to sell out their moral character for. And we talked about it last hour, and I'll give you the number again. Again, the average woman involved in prostitution in our country is underage. Grasp it, consume it, understand it. So if you're one of those, well, consenting adults can do whatever they want to do. Okay, you have that opinion. Maybe it's because I have a teenage daughter, I feel differently. The majority, according to various studies, underage. So if you think that's cool, if you think that industry's cool, if you think that's okay to say that that's consenting, and that's on you. But let's all do a better job of not just being so quick to presume guilt or to just blindly presume innocence. Can we ever pump the brakes and wait in 2019? I'm thinking in the era of smartphones and social media, the answer is no. And I should be smart enough to understand that.